What's going on, South Florida? Zach Duarte here. Finally. I feel like I did like one show a week now.
You big time.
We got the round table today, man. I felt like it was important. You know, like when you, I'll put it this way, right?
Okay.
I've been to Iceland like six times, so I know the history of Iceland, right?
Uh-huh.
In the history of Iceland, there was like this parliament, and they would meet once a year.
Okay.
And they would discuss like the important things of Iceland. That's what we're doing today, bro. Like, everybody meet at the studio at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Panic mode, man. Like, dude, what happened this weekend? Hold on. We got Rashad Butler. We got Brian Monroe. We got Vlad Lewis. Like, this show's going to be so easy, right? We got four people who are just going to start, like, talking to each other, yelling at each other. We're going to talk to Ira Winderman at 6:40.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Adam Beasley at 7:20. I got to ask him about his co-worker's fake Dolphins story now. Because now, apparently, Stephen Ross didn't want the Dolphins to draft Lamar Jackson, which I'm pretty sure Adam Beasley was the one who said that. So we're going to ask Adam Beasley about that. Because I literally have a tweet that I tweeted out, and I was listening to the show that he was on at that time, and he said it, and so I quoted it, and I put it out there on Twitter, and you know, people took off with it. So,
correct.
We haven't had the chance to be on. You were on the post game, right? You
uh-huh.
were on Sunday.
Sunday.
I have not been on the radio. I did the Dolphins show, but I can't opine about the Canes and the Dolphins show.
Correct.
And you know, it's just like, dude. Manny Diaz comes out yesterday, and for the first time, man, I'm like, oh, no. Like, Manny's all, we got a bad culture problem in here. And, you know, like, Zaslow was on the air today, and he said it perfectly. Was there a culture problem when they were 10-0 2 years ago?
Yep.
Okay, so, and here's the other thing, right? Like, oh, you know, we're going out there, and I can't remember the exact word. I'm paraphrasing here, but we're going out there, and this is off the press conference yesterday. If we could pull up that sound, I don't know if we have it. Where he's like, oh, you know, we're acting like we're confident and cocky. And I'm like, dude, you were the one in the offseason, Manny Diaz,
correct.
Right, who was like, if you don't want to come to Miami, we'll kick your ass. And then they introduced the touchdown rings.
Like, lame.
You're the one who incited all this, the new Miami stuff, and you're losing FIU. this is new for Miami. It's a new low, and it's, like, unbelievable. I haven't had a chance to opine about it in 3 days. I've been holding it in. Plus,
yeah,
behind the scenes, you
yeah.
guys know what's really going
you
on.
You look like you just getting it all out
yeah.
right now.
You guys know what's really going on behind the scenes. Got Big Brother watching me over here, all right?
1984.
It's, like, everybody in this market has said the same thing about the FIU players faking injuries. Mike Ryan on the Dan Le Batard show to Butch Davis asked him about it, but yet somehow I can't do it. Like, I don't want to address it really.
What was Butch's response?
Oh well, if you look at our injury report, blah 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and I was so and literally same thing he did. I was so disappointed, or I was so proud of our fans that they cheered when Miami's player was hurt, but when our player was hurt, Miami fans were booing, and I'm like, bro, give me a break.
Yeah, listen, Butch Davis has always been a liar, always.
Oh,
wow,
he has. And a lot of people may not know this, but that is probably the reason as to why he didn't get the Miami job the second time around.
Well, he didn't get the job because he left on terrible terms in the Board of Trustees. Mm. And some other guys up there were like,
yeah,
hell no, but, never again.
But again, they asked him about some things that went on at North Carolina that he didn't think they knew about.
Oh.
And he lied about that. In front of their faces.
Oh my! When he said, "Oh my!"
Yeah. Yeah, and see, to me, that see
I'm like, what?
Okay, see, to me,
what did he say?
That what to me like, that is what got me really upset because
how dare you?
Again,
how dare you?
I take my hat off to FIU. You know, they outplayed, they outcoached Miami, but
I should have said that by the way.
Again,
too.
If like, you're gonna if you're gonna sit up there and really try to make everyone believe that those players from your team really had injuries and then try to mitigate it by saying, by, I guess, comparing their injuries to DJ Dallas, whose elbow was actually dislocated. Like, come on, Butch. Like
you
seriously?
See it dislocate yeah, like, on the replay.
Like, come on, man.
You don't see the guy turn to the sideline, look over there, and be like, do I run off? No. Oh, get to the ground.
You also don't see the team trainer smiling on the field.
Exactly.
Ugh!
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Yeah, I've never seen a trainer smile when somebody's hurt.
Yeah, because they teach you that in physical therapy school.
Yeah.
Yeah, when dealing with an injury, make sure to smile.
You know, going into this game, this team is going to do whatever it takes to beat the Miami Hurricanes.
True.
This is their national championship. This is their whole season, right? So when it comes down to, you got to wait for trick plays, mm-hmm. and all the Bush League stuff is going to come out, whatever you want to say, because they're going to try to get you to have some roughing the passers or some late hits or some get in your head and you try to punch them or something like that. That's the type of thing. So when they did the fake injuries things, it wasn't a shock to me. Yeah. The only thing that pissed me
off was
Butch's response afterwards. Like, hats off. And, like you said, they beat the Hurricanes fair and square.
I do need to say, I don't mean to cut you off. I do need to say and echo what Rashad said, and I said it on Twitter, is that, like, hey, man, like, they won, and I don't believe that's the reason why they won.
Facts.
Right? But it is a story of the game, because that's not something that you see.
True.
That's not something, like, that's not, it's an unwritten rule, right? Like, okay, first of all, you have timeouts.
Correct.
Okay? Use your timeouts.
They saved two in the first half.
But, like, you're literally watching and on the TV broadcast.
Exactly.
Oh, this is embarrassing. I'm not making up that word.
Yeah,
that was the exact word on the television broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is embarrassing. So, like, and again, I got to make sure to hammer home that point that is not the reason why Miami lost.
True. It's not.
Because FIU did come out there and thoroughly beat Miami. Mm-hmm. And Miami didn't respond to us way too late. And we're going to get into that, too, because, like, okay, yeah, let's throw the ball more than we run against, what was it, the 13th ranked team in the nation against the pass?
Yeah.
And 110th against the run?
Correct.
This team, bro, this season, like, what the hell, guys? You guys are former alums, graduates, you played there.
We tried to warn y'all, though. We tried,
but not this bad.
I never said this bad, but we tried to warn you. It could be a very rocky road, and
not this rocky.
Listen. Here's
this
the thing.
This is like on the way to Mordor in Lord of the Rings.
Here's the thing. When I was with Zaslow and Amber, and it was before the Virginia game. They looked at me and said, "Monroe, honestly, how many games can you see this team winning the rest of the year?" I said two.
Okay.
They said what? I go, what has this
one team? Of them was FIU.
Yeah, and one of them was Georgia Tech. But here's the thing.
Wow, got that wrong.
Yeah, look at this team, right? Look at this team and say, when have you been able to trust them? What did they do coming off a bye the last two times? What have they done when they played inferior opponents? They did exactly this. So why do you expect them to all of a sudden change when we've seen this the whole entire year? The reason why rookie coaches normally go to a lower team first is because when they make these mistakes, nobody cares and nobody notices it. Like, everybody, you know, there's a couple situations where all of a sudden a guy goes from a quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, to the head coach. He does a great job. Majority of the time, you get your stepping stones.
Yeah.
And we knew there was going to be some mistakes this year from the coaching staff.
Correct.
And they happened. And they happened in a very, very ugly way that I didn't expect it to be this bad. But I also didn't say it would be a shocker if you see this team go 8-4. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a shocker. And I said, if you look at their schedule, the reason why they could is it looks like it's an easier schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look on the paper with this team, they're not an 8-4 team. They're just not.
I agree.
All right. Since we didn't get on the show till 6:05, let's go ahead and hit our headline bed.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
All right. It looks like Justice Winslow is going to be back with the Miami Heat. 9-game absence, I think it was. He practiced today with the team. And it looks like tomorrow, who's it playing again tomorrow? Is it the Rockets?
The Rockets.
Yes.
The Rockets,
yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It looks like he will suit up. I will say this. I feel like we've kind of like badmouthed, not we, but Heat Nation has kind of like, forgotten about Justice Winslow.
Correct.
The three games that he played, I think, without Jimmy Butler, 19 points a game, 9.3 rebounds a game, 6.7 assists per game, 1 steal, 1 block, and the Heat were 30 plus 37 in the 120 minutes he played. And they beat the best team in the Eastern Conference on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And aren't they most likely going to be without Jimmy Butler tomorrow, too? Because supposedly he's getting his sickness, which is going around the locker room.
Well, he was, you could tell yesterday in the post-game press conference that he was stuffed up, congested.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see tomorrow. But he does that kind of team, like, you know, if you don't feel 100%, sit this one out. No problem. And that's fine. That's fine.
Not load management. They're sick.
Well, it's funny because I had this conversation with Rashad on Saturday, and I want to pick your brain. And now you've had some time to kind of sit on it. But have you heard, like, the new proposal?
For the in-game tournament and the only
thing I don't understand is the 30-team tournament. Like, what are we doing there?
They're trying to make it like soccer, right?
Yes,
if you look at English soccer and European soccer, they're trying to make it that way. But, you know, the difference is that, to me, it's different because if you look at soccer, the biggest trophy that you can win for your team is at the end of the year, which is the regular season.
Correct.
There is no postseason like in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like if you just were trying to win the regular season, you're doing points. I get the in the middle of season tournament, but that's not how soccer is.
Yeah.
Soccer is you win the end of the year. It's over with. Basketball, now you're just getting seeded to go to the playoffs.
And see, one thing about soccer is that they don't have a all-star break that falls in the middle of the season. And to me, I think that's going to be the underlining problem with this is how are you going to or where are you going to put this at? Because we all know in the NBA, a lot of players, if they don't make the all-star team, they're in Cabo, they're gone.
They're chilling.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's good. It's going to be very, very tough to just see how the NBA is going to figure this one out.
Well, I do like the play-in for the postseason.
Yes.
I like that.
Uh-huh. And I That's do like cool. the receding, too.
Yes, the receding. Uh-huh. Yeah, correct. Once you get to the only problem with that, right, is like.
Well, see, the reason they did that is because, remember, a few years ago we had Golden State playing Houston. It was in the conference semifinals.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the only thing about right, is that, okay, last year's Milwaukee team, 60 wins, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But they played 50-some-odd games against the Eastern Conference.
True.
So, I get what they're trying to do there, but Milwaukee's regular season is a lot easier than the Clippers' regular season.
Correct. And honestly, I think you will have a lot of probably West Coast teams signing off on that, and you will have like a lot of East Coast teams probably not wanting to sign off on that.
Is the reseeding everybody just as neutral? There's no East and West? It's just you just see
no,
that way?
No, it's in both conferences.
Yeah, we'll that's what it. I mean. There's no East and West. There's just a one through whatever.
I think it's 1 through 4. Once you get to the conference finals, it's a 1 through 4.
Oh, they're doing it that way, not the whole entire.
No, it's the conference finals, right?
Uh-huh, correct.
Yeah, conference finals.
So just the conference finals that you can be East and West playing against each other?
I think so.
No, it's not East and West. It's just the Western Conference will have a reseeding, and then the Eastern Conference will have a reseeding.
See, there's still like so much.
Yeah.
I would want just the whole.
Ira Winterman will break it up for
best records, doesn't matter East and West,
it's not gonna happen.
And let's play.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's not because, see, again, a lot of East Coast teams are not going to sign off on that.
I get it because it's easy over here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy now, but you think about it next year when you get a healthy KD and a healthy Kyrie back, plus the other teams that are balling right now.
But still, though, because
– you'll have because, like 10 West Coast teams and 6 Eastern Conference teams.
I mean, exactly. If you look at the records right now, it's not that far off as far as the West Coast teams and the East Coast conferences.
Well, do this. Like, look at the bottom half, though. Like, the bottom half of the West is a lot better than the bottom half of the East.
Not only better than the bottom half of the East, probably like the 5th through 8th.
That's true. Yes, correct.
Anyways, other headlines we got here. Mason Rudolph, not starting this week, man.
Yes, he's not.
Oh, man.
Ah! Devlin Hodges. Ah!
Duck.
Yes.
Captain Duck. But we got to get into – we got Iron Man at 640.
Mm-hmm.
We got Adam Beasley at 720. We got to get into this Lamar Jackson story. Also, I don't know if you guys heard, it's a new minor league team.
Okay.
No?
No.
Just me?
No, just you.
Just you.
Okay. All right.
That's your thing.
Did you get some free swag yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Got to reach out, though. I'll tell you this. I made a little headway with the jumbo shrimp a few weeks ago.
Okay.
The jumbo shrimp.
I added them on Twitter. And I was like, hey, man, anybody respond to your emails? And they're like, oh, hey, we'll follow you back and send us a DM. And I was like, nah, I'm good.
Wait, now you're playing the big guy?
I'll DM them when it's like baseball season, man.
Oh, my.
Don't do it when it's baseball season.
Come
do it now in the off season.
They got to wait, bro.
For that. I hope they're listening right now.
They got to wait.
No, man. Not even that. For that, I hope they don't give you squat.
they're gonna give
no
stuff.
Free stuff for you, bro.
No.
Come on.
They give you squat.
Like, how much have I promoted the baby cakes ever since they sent me merch? Like, every week.
Yeah, you have.
Everyone's like, what is that? Oh, baby cake. Yeah. Oh, yeah, baseball team. Oh, like, come on, man.
Yeah, no. Now you want to be big time? Nah. Uh-uh.
I am,
exactly.
You're like that.
He's like that chick that you going after, and then she finally gives attention. You're like, man, you know I ain't want to holler at her no more. Get out of here with that. Get out of here.
All right, let's head to break here. On the other side, I want to pick a guy's brains about the Miami Heat. We saw them a couple days ago completely lay an egg against the Philadelphia 76ers. So I'm not sure about this team because obviously they're taking care of business against the teams they need to take care of. But we've seen them now play a couple of games against the more meaningful teams.
Correct.
And it hasn't looked good. Let's get into that on the other side. Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, Zach Duarte here on 790 Ticket until 10 o'clock tonight. Just make sure you stay by the dump on tonight, Vlad. Just make sure it's close by. Do I have a dump button yet?
CTC, man. Cut the
None
check.
None of us got dump buttons.
Still no dump button yet.
Okay. Holes in the desk.
That is the moral, Zach. CTC. Cut my check, man. Okay.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
It's not me.
You said that all right.
Yeah, straight cash, homie. It's not me. Like Randy Moss.
It's not me. We got a round table show tonight. Round table here on 790 The Ticket. Rashad Butler, Brian Monroe, Zach Duarte.
You like how Zach raised his hand like people can see him raising his hand. Well,
I'm saying hi to my friend over there. My buddy over there.
Yeah, I'm messing with you.
He's in deep conversation.
Which one of you was in the room when he came in and said somebody else called me a zaddy last week?
I was.
You were, right?
I was, yeah. It was me.
I got admirers left and right.
When you were running. It was for the
dribble drive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look at you, man.
Yeah, but you
man.
Ain't capitalizing on none of it. Well, so what does it mean?
Well, like, what am I supposed to? Like, I found out 2 days after the dribble drive.
Get down, listen. Get down to the bottom.
Get
of
to
it,
the
man.
Bottom of it, nah, bro.
I was busy dribbling for cancer, man.
You said 2 days afterwards.
You should have been.
He told me
2 days
afterwards.
Okay, by the third day, you should have known who it was.
I don't even know who's in the van with him.
You simply ask him. Let me get a social media.
Nah, man, I ain't doing that.
See, exactly.
You know what?
She can find me at the holiday party.
Oh, God. Here we go. Now you want to do it in front of all your coworkers.
You know I'm going to walk in the holiday party with my pimp cane.
You know what? I think I know who it is.
Guess what? She can also find other zaddies at the holiday party also.
Nah,
sure.
I am the zaddy.
Oh, God.
Who told you this?
Here we go.
Man.
Oh, my
well, listen.
God.
That's worse than well, listen.
You been
drinking
Coquito before you came on the show?
Hey, Brian. Hey, hold on. Listen, Brian and Vlad. He was at Riptide with some very short shorts on.
That's right.
And Daisy Duke?
Yes, he was.
Yes, I was.
He was.
Right. And a tank top?
Yep.
Is that what you're about to say? A tank top?
A tank top.
Too?
Uh-huh. He was ready.
He was ready. He had young shorts on and a tank top.
He was ready.
I had
Zach was ready, man.
I had the
why were you wearing Daisy Dukes?
I had the mid-thigh pink bathing suit.
Listen, he was trying to show
pink?
That.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
European?
Hey, listen, he was trying to show that print.
That's right.
Oh,
had to get some sun on these legs, man.
He was trying to show that print, man. Oh,
it was nice to wear those, man.
Well, right now we are assuming that it was a female coworker that said Zaddy. with that outfit, it might be somebody else. I'm just saying.
No, we're talking two different events.
I know. I'm talking about the Riptide one because someone did come in and say someone else said Zaddy about you right at Riptide.
No, at the dribble drive.
That's that one, but we had somebody in the room.
Oh, she just said it. She did? Right now?
Isn't that what she said? Yeah.
She did.
Wow.
She did.
You don't even hear what
she did, man.
You see it on top?
Oh, my goodness.
You don't know when people are complimenting you?
I was busy researching for the segment.
Yeah, sure you were.
It's just going to be us ripping FIU. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
We already got to go to break because we got Ira Winderman in 5 minutes.
My goodness.
People just call me Zaddy left and right in here, man.
We just don't know who's calling you Zaddy now.
Exactly.
With pink short shorts and a tank top.
I was trying.
And they were tight.
Guns out, baby.
And they were tight.
Right.
Too.
He was showing that print off.
Yeah, he was.
Buns out. They
were the kind that when you stand up, they're not that short, but when you sit down,
shorts should be short.
Why not? I got to get some sun on those legs.
How much shorter were they when my shorts are sitting down?
A couple inches shorter.
A lot shorter.
You're wearing poom poom shorts.
A couple inches shorter. Yeah.
Show them cheeks, son.
Yeah, man.
That boy was on the quads.
That's right, bro. Yeah, I got quads for days, so I got to.
Showing off the quads.
You know? I get in a regular bathing suit, and it's like, yeah, you know, it just doesn't. I got to let them, you know, be free.
What is a regular bathing suit? You mean board shorts?
I don't do board shorts. Come on, man. What am I, like 18?
What am I supposed to wear? Mid-thighs?
Yeah, bro.
Nah.
Show off them. I ain't doing no mid-thighs. I got them hammies, too, for
in
days.
In South Florida, some mid-thighs on our beaches?
Yeah.
Nah. Mm-mm.
I got this, bro.
No thanks.
I just think that was a bad look, bro.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Just a bad look.
Clearly worked for me, so.
Yeah, but we don't know who said it.
Okay, that's fine.
We don't know if it was her. Or he. I'm just saying.
That's true.
But there's nothing wrong with either one of them.
Neither, nothing.
Hold on, Vlad said or it. He said or it.
That's not funny, you guys. That's messed up. All right, we got to get to break here. We're going to talk to Aaron Windeman next. Maybe we'll find out his beach attire on the other side. If you want to text in the show, 67974. It's brought to you by Kendall of Toyota and West Kendall of Toyota. Let's talk to Aaron Windeman. Covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel next here on 790 The Ticket. Back here on 790 The Tickets, the round table with Rashad Butler, Brian Monroe, myself, Zach Dorch. We got Vlad Louis Santa. Vlad's a part of the round table too.
Of course he is.
Even though he's wrong every time he talks.
My goodness.
You know, Jets. More Jets. I mean, if anybody knows, it's you.
Yeah. What's up?
Winning streak, so let us be.
See?
My man, even if you listen, guys win out, starting, you're still not even making the playoffs.
He is starting to drink the Kool-Aid.
You want to bet that?
Adam Gates is sucking him back in. All Jet fans, he's sucking him back in.
Look at Ryan Tannehill right now.
Adam is Sam and Jamal that's sucking us right back.
He's drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm drinking the Crown because I've got many of bottles from Vlad. Appreciate it.
Let's turn our attention to the Miami Heat. Joining us now in the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest lines, they are truly steps beyond convenient. Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, you're out there on the road following the Heat right now as they get ready for a big game tomorrow night against the Houston Rockets. The big news is that Justice Winslow practiced today, set to rejoin the team. Do you think tomorrow, though, Justice is in the starting lineup or comes off the bench?
I think he comes off the bench because I think it's a case of I don't want to say mirrors Jimmy Butler's skills because I think Jimmy Butler's at a little bit different level. Then I think Eric Spoelstra wants to try the two of them in small doses together to see, one, if there's enough shooting on the floor otherwise, and two, not to take the ball out of either of their hands. I mean, it's a very delicate balance. Justice Winslow is sort of the rising star in this team. Then Jimmy Butler came along, but what Justice does well is what Jimmy does well. What Justice doesn't do well, three-point shooting, is what Jimmy doesn't do well. I just think you put Justice in a second unit with the outside shooting of Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, and Kelly Olynyk, and you have a wonderful mix there. So to me, it comes down, as I defer to the big three sitting there in the studio, is how much of an ego thing is it to be a starter, and can Justice Winslow wrap his head around being a really big contributor but not necessarily being a starter?
Well, it seems like Jimmy Butler and Justice Winslow are playing tag as to who's going to be playing in each game, because you have those first three games with Justice Winslow, the next nine games with Jimmy Butler without Justice Winslow, and tomorrow Jimmy Butler, while he traveled with the team today, may miss the game due to that illness that's going around the entire team, correct?
Yeah, I think if he traveled for a one-game trip. Look, if it was that bad, he could have had today off, he could have had Wednesday off, Thanksgiving they're going to be off, and gotten right for the Warriors game, a game obviously you need to win with these other tough games. If he traveled, he's going to play. Both he and James Johnson were ill. They both missed practice, but they took the team flight today. James Johnson doesn't play because he's James Johnson. But I think Jimmy Butler's going to go out there. Now the question is, after what the Heat did to the Rockets last time out, Jimmy Butler might not be needed for that much, because if the Rockets have revenge on their mind, then that game could be over relatively quickly. So I'll be curious to see sort of the whole tenor of the game. They won't push Jimmy, but I do expect him to play.
Ira, to shift gears real quick, how real are these rumors referring to DeMar DeRozan and potentially
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes, LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge. Mm-hmm. You know what? They're not rumors as much as everyone is trying to look for the fit. Not only the fit of a player, an A-list player or top B-list player who can fit, but also whose contract fits. Both of those guys have deals that expire before the 2021 offseason, when the Heat could make their run for Giannis Antetokounmpo, when they could make a run if Kawhi Leonard jumps back in free agency. So I think what's happening is people are trying to piece the math together. Okay, what's a team that's struggling, number one? That's the Spurs. What's a team that could use an infusion of younger players? That's the Spurs. What's a team that has leading men with contracts to expire on or before 2021? That's the Spurs. So they look at those two names. I have floated DeRozan to a bunch of people. One group of people tells me he's not a three-point shooter. He's not what the Heat need. The other group tell me he's a 20-point scorer, and the NBA only has so many of those. He will give you offense, although I don't know if this Heat team needs it. Aldridge is different because he's an outside-scoring big man, which sort of then, I don't know if you can pair him with Bam, because I don't know who guards the huge centers that way, as much as the Heat have the big bodies of Olynyk and Myers Leonard right now. I think for the right deal, the Heat would do it. And guys, I would say this. To me, the right deal might be if they can offload a bad contract, either Deion Waiters or James Johnson, I think they might be willing to go as far as give up Justice Winslow also. So I would say the rumors aren't really rumors. Would the deal make sense? Yeah, I think on some levels it might.
Let me ask you a question. So there's these new stuff going around about this reseeding and in tournament in the middle of the season. Can we get some clarification on that? Like, what is the exact process they're talking about, this reseeding and this tournament in the middle of the season?
Well, there's three steps that they want to do, because right now the television ratings are awful, and they're trying to sort of make a new generation appreciate the game and get rid of this load management where when you show up to a game, you don't have no idea who's going to play. So they're talking about reducing the schedule probably only till about 78 games or so. They then are trying to appeal to the soccer millennials and the next generation who enjoy the UEFA Cup and things like that in Europe, where if you don't win your league championship, you can win another cup. I don't think personally it translates. They're going to try that, eventually bring over top European teams. Look, Pat Riley's the guy who didn't even want to put up a divisional banner. So I think the Heat winning the NBA midseason cup, you know, that's going to like be buried behind Marino jersey and the Jordan jersey in American Airlines Arena.
Facts.
That's not what this team is about. But look, Adam Silver's trying to be forward thinking. The most interesting aspect is this. The playoffs will be conducted as is with two changes, and I don't like this either. They're talking about this. After the regular season ends, the number 7 and 8 teams will play a one-game wild card game, sort of like baseball. The winner gets the number 7 seed. Then the numbers 9 and 10 seeds will play a one-game playoff. Playing then the team that's left is the number 8 seed for the last playoff seed. That does two things. It means you can finish 7th and, you know, be 6 games over 500, and you can finish 10th and be 6 games under 500, and both teams basically are 2 victories away from making the playoffs. Here's the other thing, guys. And this is why I respect the NFL so much and even Major League Baseball, because it's actually hard to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Right now, 16 of 30 NBA teams make the playoffs, more than half. That's why when teams go, we want to be a playoff team, I'm like, so you want to be mediocre? Under this plan, it's absurd. 20 of the 30 teams will make the playoffs. I mean, at what point is it not even a badge of honor anymore? I know you want to keep fan interest, but I think that's artificial. The other thing is they would reseed the Final Four. There have been too many years when the Western Conference Final has been great, and then they play this overwhelmed Cavaliers team. So they want to avoid that going forward. One, that means you're never going to crown an Eastern Conference and Western Conference champion for whatever that's worth. But two, the fact is you have these great playoff rivalries. It used to be the Sixers and the Celtics. We had the Heat and the Knicks for a while. I think it's going to take a little bit away. You know what? It's funny. We've just talked about like 5 different changes. To me, that almost reeks of desperation. Try one thing.
Yep.
Be subtle. Go gently. I just don't think the NBA has fallen off the edge of the earth. I think all sports are taking a backseat to so much else going on the web and the internet.
I'll say this, Ira, and you bring up some good points. And Rashad and I discussed this on Saturday, is that I at least applaud Adam Silver and the NBA for trying to be progressive instead of wait for this to become a bigger problem, because A, tanking is becoming a bigger problem, and B, like you said, the ratings there are anemic because nobody cares about these games, and you have guys sitting out. But here's what I'll say to your playoff point real quick. I understand what you're saying about baseball and football, but tanking has clearly creeped into baseball, and it's becoming more and more of a problem because you're seeing 4 or 5 teams lose 100-plus games. You look at the standings 2 years ago, you'd be shocked if there was 1 or 2. Now the NFL, we don't know if it's creeping into the NFL yet. It's been talked about this year, but You know, and I know the Cincinnati Bengals are starting at Andy Dalton now because they want to win a game. But, like, they're not trying to legitimately win the rest of their games this season. So, yeah, like, making the playoffs is hard, but the NBA clearly has a problem with the teams who are at the bottom of the standings. And at the very least, this kind of extends that list of possible teams that can make the playoffs.
Yeah, but you know what? The NFL has that right now. There's, like, the 5 and 6 teams of the NFC, and they're all in it just because there's still those spots available. But don't you want some credibility? Don't you want great teams? Even look at the NCAA. We're having these great arguments. Tonight they're going to come out with the rankings. We're going to see where teams wind up. But no matter what happens, it's hard to get in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, it is.
When you get in the college football playoffs, you've done something special, something remarkable. It's a badge of honor just to be there. To be in the NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs right now barely means anything. We saw last season the St. Louis Blues' worst record of midseason. All of a sudden, they skate off with the Stanley Cup title. I think that devalues your regular season. Matter of fact, I'm going to go the opposite way, Zach. If you're telling me it's getting rid of load management, I'm going to say it's the opposite. I now know that I can sit out 10, 15 games and still have a puncher's chance to make the playoffs because everyone makes the playoffs. I mean, look this year. I'll give you a perfect example. I'm going to give you guys the ultimate example. Mm-hmm. Golden State Warriors. They are horrible. But what if Klay Thompson comes back in February and Steph Curry comes back a little after that? Is it fair that a Golden State Warriors team that somehow climbs to 32 wins, let's say, gets that number 10 playoff seed in the new system, beats the number 9 team, beats the number 8 team, and all of a sudden you're the top seed and you're going like, really, this is our reward for playing our season hard? I just think it's too much. I think if you're going to do that, then just put everyone in the playoffs. I also think if you're going to go that deep in the playoffs, then I think top seed should get more than just 4 games in the best of 7 series. I've always contended this. I believe the number 1 seeds in each conference should get 6 home playoff games in the first round, because if you stink as the number 8 seed, you should have to pay the price. And I would schedule those series on a 3-1-3 basis. Number 1 seed gets 3 guaranteed home dates. The number 8 seed gets 1 stinking playoff game because that's all they deserve. And at least then you push for the number 1 seed. Same thing, I would give the number 2 seed 5 games in the best of 7 series. I think you have to do something at the top also. Guys, winning should still matter.
I agree. Now, what is your thoughts on the reseeding? Because I like it, because I can see them doing this, because a few years ago we had Golden State and Houston playing before the conference finals, sure. And that kind of made everyone a little upset because those were the best 2 teams in the Western Conference. So what do you think about the reseeding? I like it.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw it back at you, especially as an athlete who understands what travel is like, okay?
True.
Let's shoot for the top. I'm going to give you a hypothetical because we could have some fun with the Heat. Let's say the Heat have one of the top records in the Eastern Conference, and they have to, because now we're cross-matching, play Portland, the big Hassan Whiteside, you know, revenge series in the first round. So now they're hopscotching the country on a 2-2-1-1-1 basis in the semifinal B, whatever you want to call it. They get through that series, and their reward is the Clippers or the Lakers. They're hopscotching the country again in the next round. So then you're going to tell me, wow, these teams don't look as good as they should be because Boston's previous series was going – or rather, because the Clippers' previous series was going back and forth, let's say, to Toronto. I think you got to look at the travel also and say, do you want a team for 1 month straight making what I just laid out as is 6 cross-country flights in a 4-week period? That's a lot for any athletes to readjust from. So I could understand competitive balance, get your best series. And you know what the answer is going to be, Rashad, is they're going to stretch out the finals even longer. And I think we all agree that the finals now being played a 7-game series over 3 weeks is a bit much with all those 2-day breaks. Could you imagine 7-2 series like that? That it would take 6 weeks to get through the final 2 rounds of the playoffs. That's a concern.
Ira, we're like all trying to figure this out behind the scenes. Go ahead, Brian.
So the reseeding is reseeding means there's not going to be East versus West, right? Correct? Or are we talking about before
we get in the final 4? There will be. You're going to play right. You're going to play the regular Eastern Conference playoffs, the same, you know, 1-8, 2-7, so forth. When you get to the end, and there are 2 teams left in the East, and there are 2 teams left in the West, you'll then realign the teams based on their regular season record 1-4. So look, there's a 50-50 chance the East teams and the West teams will play each other anyway. But there's also a chance when the 2 West teams or 2 East teams are the best, that they'll cross match with the Western Conference. So the NBA knows they can't do that for four straight rounds. They'll kill the players. I mean, we can go through a scenario where the Heat could open in the first round at Denver, the second round at Portland, the third round at the Clippers, the fourth round at the Lakers, you know, and no one's going to be left standing. So they're just talking about same playoffs as we know. But when you get down to four teams, you're going to reseed them based on regular season records. So it could be West, West, East, East, 1, 2, 3, 4 going in that direction. It's interesting because it will give you the best possible chance at the best possible series of the two best teams in the league if they happen to both be from the same conference.
Ira, are you in the camp of you received one of the new Vice jerseys like everybody else at the radio station, or are you in the camp as myself, Rashad, and Brian, where we did not receive any love from the Miami
Heat? No love, man. No love.
You know what? It's good to be the 32-year beat writer because they know your address by now. So I'm not going to deny, but what I always tell people, because it has the last name on it, they must have sent it to my son. And if you know my son, he's already claimed property of it. So the fact that, one, you will never see me in it, and two, I probably won't even see it because it arrived before Thanksgiving, and I'm sure my wife is already flying it up to my son and family in New Jersey. So it was nice while it lasted.
Yeah, well, I'm just watching, like, producers of shows here get – Heat jerseys, and yet, you know, I cover the team.
Call them out, Zach.
You know, and
the worst thing
last year is when I didn't get one, and all of a sudden I turn on ESPN, and there's Sedano out in L.A. wearing one. And they had the Midnight Vice, and I'm like, something is wrong with this picture right here. So, yeah. Zach, I'm sorry, but apparently it's all about who you know.
No, well, they're going to be waiting alongside my 2012-2013 championship rings is where they are.
Yeah, you ain't got
right
noticed.
There. And also what's interesting is I don't know if you noticed today, but Len was walking around the station with a new Vice jersey that had the word Duarte on the back. So that was
That's funny because I actually texted him about it. You can check out Ira's work on the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You can also check him out on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Ira, stay safe, and I'll see you when you get back home, right?
And I won't be shaking hands with Jimmy Butler till he's healthy. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday, guys. Thank you.
There you go. All right. Again, Ira Winterman covers Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Does a great job there. Check out his work on Twitter or on the South Florida Sun Sentinel if you still get a newspaper. Or you can also subscribe online as well if you're old school. But let's get back into we're going to do our headlines on the other side. Okay. We got to get into the Dolphins a little bit. They're 2-9 here. Apparently – I don't know how to explain this, but like Sportsline today tweeted out the draft order and has the Dolphins at 4.
Correct.
Strength of record or strength of
but
schedule.
But when you look at almost every other strength of schedule website, the Dolphins are 3rd.
But the NFL is the one that released that.
But yes. So what is their different strength of schedule than everybody else's? Like, what are we looking at here? I'm confused.
I don't know. It's a point system. I don't know. Well, I'm not the NFL. I just know what they released.
Let me ask you this. At this point, do you think it really matters?
Yes.
Right now it matters?
But what are we supposed to talk about with the Dolphins?
No, but I'm saying...
Hey, let's break down Kalen Ballage and 1.9 yard per carry average.
I guess what I'm saying is, do you think that either being 1, 2, or 3 makes a difference from being 4? Because at this point, I feel like you're going to get your guy regardless.
Well, I think they need to get Chase Young, so...
Ooh,
wait,
you do.
Wait, hold on. You think if they go where? 1, 2, 3, or 4, they're going to get the guy they want?
Yeah.
If they're at 4, they're not getting their top 2 choices.
Yeah.
Okay, so
no way in hell.
Okay, hold on. So you don't believe if they want Tua, they're not going to get Tua at number 4.
We'll find out after the break.
Let's do this on the other side. Let's save this discussion for the other side. You want to get in 67974, Zach Duarte, Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, the roundtable here on 790 The Ticket.